الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله. Tonight is the 22nd of December in the year 2017. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 11th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the glorious companion Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu. And for the last few sessions, I've been discussing or taking a glimpse into his companionship with our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, i.e. his learning from the fountainhood of prophethood. So the next section is entitled, His Intense and Immense Love of Jihad. Thus Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu was now learning from the unparalleled fountain of prophethood, and indeed he acquired much. However, it was not with regards to the acquisition of the prophetic legacy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Sayyidina Khalid truly excelled, but it was with his military genius and yearning for jihad, something which had been implanted within him by no other than the Almighty and Glorious himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously, as soon as you hear the name Khalid bin Walid, you don't really think of fiqh, right? Or you just think of jihad. But that was something that Allah the Almighty and Glorious had created him for. So a few reports. In Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, Ali Isaba volume 1 page 414, Hayat al-Sahaba volume 2 page 126 of the New English Translation, Ziyad rahmatullah alayhi, the freed servant of Khalid's children, he relates, Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu had remarked at the time of his death, there is no night on earth more beloved to me than a night out on a military expedition with the Muhajirin, which is so cold that water turns to ice, and we are to attack the enemy the following dawn. You people should also therefore steadfastly cling to jihad. SubhanAllah. So note, he's saying this on his deathbed, meaning he's completed his blessed life almost, radiyallahu. And what did he say? The night that is most beloved is the night that's freezing. Don't forget, in those days there wasn't such thing as, you know, these creature comforts. Freezing, and we're about to attack just before Fajr. In a similar report, Hafiz Zahabi rahmatullah in his Siyar 1-375, Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu said, I do not prefer even the wedding night with my new wife over a freezing night in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the shield over my head due to the severe cold. SubhanAllah. I do not prefer even the wedding night with my new wife over a freezing night in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the shield over my head. And in yet another report, in Abu Ya'la in his Musnad number 7185, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id volume 9 page 50, Al-Bidayah, Hayat al-Sahaba volume 2 page 126 of the New English Translation, Sayyidina Qays relates that Khalid bin Walid said, radiyallahu, the night in which my newly wed bride, whom I love dearly, is brought to my house, or from whom I am given the news of a son to be born, is not dearer to me than the night out on a military expedition with the Muhajirin, which is so cold that water turns to ice, and we are to attack the enemy the following dawn. SubhanAllah. This is a Sahih Hadith in Abu Ya'la. So if you look at all these reports, he's on his deathbed, and even criminals speak truthfully on their deathbeds. So what about the great ones? So as a person would say in today's day and age, when he's immersed in something he loves, this is what I live for. People say this, he goes, this is what I was created for, this is what I live for, because he loves what he's going to do. So let's contrast. One is with one's beautiful new wife on the first night of their marriage, in a warm private chamber, to finally consummate one's intense passion. SubhanAllah, consider the intense happiness, joy, ecstasy that one experiences. Or one is blessed with a healthy son and daughter, and the delight that comes with that. This comes second to what? Imagine. Allahu Akbar, a freezing night with only a shield over your head to protect you from the blistering cold, whilst at the same time ready to engage with your enemy on the battlefield as morning breaks. Indeed, this can be no other than a person truly divinely inspired to perform such a hallowed and critical task. Such indeed was the very sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unleashed against the unbelievers and hypocrites, the magnificent Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu. So this is the only way to engage it. Obviously, sadly, most of us haven't done jihad. But we understand, hopefully a few of us, when you get married and you see the person's, you know, joy in his face, or if he's blessed with the first child, how happy is he? And yeah, imagine somebody even more ecstatic. Because what's your problem? And he goes, jihad? Freezing night, because that's more beloved to me. So is that normal? So obviously you can say, yes, we believe in the rewards. But is it easy for you? No. It's not easy for you. Well, it's not easy for me. Yeah, a person saying, this is the most beloved thing to me. His preoccupation with the glorious deed of jihad can be gauged from the following blessed reports. In Sahih Bukhari, number 1468, Sahih Muslim, number 983, Nasa'i, number 211, Abu Dawood, number 1623, Ahmad in his Musnad 3-22, Al-Bidayah in the chapter on those who died in the year 21 AH, Mishkad, volume 2, number 50, in the chapter on Zakat. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he relates, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he once sent Umar radiallahu anhu to collect Zakat. He's going to collect Zakat for son of Khattab radiallahu anhu. It was thereupon said that Ibn Jamil, Khalid ibn Walid, and Abbas radiallahu anhu refused to pay. Thus, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed, he said, Ibn Jamil did not refuse, except he was poor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Messenger enriched him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he has no excuse in not paying. As for Khalid, O Umar, you are wronging him, for he has dedicated his courts of mail and weapons for the constant use in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for Abbas, I shall be responsible for it and an equal amount along with it. O Umar, radiallahu anhu, are you unaware that a man's paternal uncle is of the same stock as his own father? So let's look at it. So this is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. So he's collecting zakat, three people he bumps into. Ibn Jamil, long story, but he was a poor man. And the Prophet made a dua for him, helped him, he became very wealthy. He delayed. He wasn't a hypocrite as far as I know. But he delayed. So obviously the Prophet was upset over this. Imagine Umar comes to Khalid, because zakat, we don't know the exchange. But imagine his cousin. Imagine looking at Umar. Zakat. You can imagine the, you know, exchange between the words. You can see that he must have said something. But then Abbas, there's another report about Abbas. The report actually says, he asked Abbas zakat, and Abbas said to him, he goes, who are you that I pay zakat to you? Basically, in today's day and age, do one. So Umar then says, if you wasn't the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's uncle, I would have given you a befitting reply. But he's really hurt over this. Then when he came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said about Abbas, he's like my father, I will pay zakat, don't worry about this. And then about Khalid, look, this is the relevant part. He said, yes, technically he needs to pay zakat, he's got wealth. But that way he's zakatable, the goods that are zakatable on, he's always in the path of Allah. It's not for business. So basically there's no zakat. He's got a horse, he's got weapons, because he's constantly ready, the hadith says. He's constantly ready for jihad. So there's the proof in Bukhari and Muslim, that he was ready always. And why wouldn't he be when this was his element? Radiallahu. Consider also the following words of Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu. Involvement in jihad, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prevented me from learning much of the Quran. Subhanallah. Involvement in jihad, fi sabilillah, prevented me from learning much of the Quran. This is in Abu Ya'la, Al-Isaba, volume 1, page 414, Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawa'id, volume 9, page 350, comments upon the chain of narrators. I had the Sahaba, volume 2, page 126 of the New English Translation. So if you just quote this report, you'll get some fruitcake saying this. Oh yeah, so Khalid didn't learn the last 10 surahs. And I've actually heard that somebody said that. I felt like giving a big, you know, slap. Where did he get that from? All he said was, it prevented me, jihad prevented me from learning much, not little, much of the Quran. Now, how do we know he had a great knowledge of the Quran? Because he was appointed to be one of the scribes of the revelation and letters of no other than our beloved messenger for whom he would write letters. Where is this recorded? In Al-Bidayah 5-344, Zad al-Ma'ad, volume 1, Hafiz ibn Sayyid al-Nas in his Uyun al-Athar 2-315 and others. So you say, okay, brother, let me get this straight. He doesn't know much of the Quran. No. And he wrote down revelation. Which planet are you on? Right? So what he was saying was, the Quran is beloved to me. And it hurts me that I didn't learn as much as I should have learned. Don't bring him down to our level. Somebody knows the last 10 surahs, he becomes Shaykh al-Hadith, Shaykh al-Quran. Right? So obviously, there is a rapport. But don't quote that rapport to belittle his knowledge. He was a man who had great knowledge of the Quran. Khalid radiallahu anhu would thus always be ready and in the service of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for any likely or possible conflict. Take for example the following incident. I will mention one example. In Imam Ahmad's Musnad Tabarani Ibn Abi Hatim Ibn Jarir Ibn Kathir's Tafsir Ma'arif al-Quran volume 8 page 119-120 of the English translation. So I'm summarizing, but that's where you'll find the hadith. So what is it mentioned? It is related that the father of Juwayriyah, the mother of the believers, her father, Sayyidina Harith ibn Dirar ibn Abi Dirar, the chief of the Banu Mustalik, embraced Islam. So Juwayriyah was Bani Israel. She became the mother of the believers. The tribe embraced Islam. As Aisha goes, I don't know of a more blessed woman, that all her tribe embraced Islam because of her. So anyway, the father becomes, imagine, he's fighting the Prophet one day prior, next day his father-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know where that one at? So obviously, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed him to pay the zakat together with those who embraced Islam from his tribe. And Hadith, he said, that he himself would collect it and pass it on to the designated person appointed by him. So simply put, he's embraced Islam. The Jewish chieftain is a Muslim now, radiallahu anhu, father-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because I will collect the zakat, ya Rasulullah, and any person you send, because I will gladly give the zakat to him. I'll make it easy for him. He'll be ready. However, when Sayyidina Hadith had collected his tribe zakat, the zakat collector of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not arrive at the appointed time. Sayyidina Hadith radiallahu anhu thus became worried. Because why is the person who is appointed to collect zakat not here? Thus he himself sets off with a contingent of leaders to Al-Madinah. So he goes, we will go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meanwhile, whilst he was doing this, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had indeed sent the zakat collector. So now this is important. Here, some shaitan has inserted a name. The name that they insert who was sent to collect the zakat, and it's not true, is Walid ibn Uqba, radiyallahu. But this is an error, because he was only a boy when the Prophet entered Makkah and Makkah had fallen. So do you think the Prophet is going to send a boy? So no, let's leave that to one side, but I'll explain why if you ask me after. Why some shaitan has put his name here, right? So there was somebody sent, it wasn't Walid. But somebody put his name in there. The zakat collector on the way, he thought that the members of that tribe were his old enemies, i.e. from Jahiliyyah, and thus feared that they might kill him. In another report, it is related that he actually saw a group of coming out of that tribe, thus instilling the old fear into him. With this fear, he retreated to Al-Madinah without fulfilling his task, and then said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had actually refused to pay the zakat, they wanted to kill him. So what's happened? This man was sent, and he got cold feet. He thought, I'm in their bad books. They've just become Muslim. And if they see me, I'm walking into the lion's mouth. So he had this in his mind. When he sees them coming out, he thought, oh my God, right? So he rushes back and he lies. Think about that. Because they refused to pay zakat, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On hearing this, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very angry. And thus gave orders for Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu, with a force of fighters to deal with the situation. So not where did he turn to straight away. So what happened? Khalid bin Walid sets off with a contingent. And just outside of Al-Madinah, he meets Khalid with his contingent. So Khalid angrily demanded the reason. Because why have you refused to pay zakat? So Harith took an oath. He goes, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sent Muhammad as his true messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the zakat collector did not arrive in the location, nor did I see him. Though since no envoy come to us at the appointed location, I apprehended that you were annoyed with me due to some shortcoming on my part, therefore I have come here. So look how strange. They're both telling the truth. So Khalid, obviously, he's confused. So he goes, right, we're going back to Medina. Upon their return to the holy city for clarification, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he revealed the verse. Surah Al-Hujarat, Surah 49, verse 6. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu an tusibu qawman bijahalatin fatusbihu ala ma fa'altum nadimin. O you who believe, if a fasiq, if an unreliable person brings you a report, then ascertain the truth, lest you harm people out of ignorance and then become remorseful on what you have done. So the matter was cleared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes, the person who was sent by the Prophet wasn't reliable. Because he was the one who caused the problem. And he goes, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? If a fasiq brings you a report, O believers, ascertain the truth, lest you harm people out of ignorance and become remorseful on what you have done. That verse was the cornerstone for the science of hadith. So this is the background for the verse, but this is why the scholars of hadith were checking every person in the chain. Why? Because you will cause greater harm. What can be greater harm than attributing something to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is just, you know, news. And that's why they were very strict, like Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. So this is one report. However, according to another report, it mentions that Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu sent some spies into the camp, and they had returned confirming that they were all Muslims. Khalid returned and informed the Messenger of Allah of the reality. So this is another version. So he sent spies and he thought they were going to come back saying, yes, they're still Jews because they're Muslims. So he informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So obviously this can't be both correct. But subhanallah, whatever the case, one can see how quickly Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was being now utilized for such sensitive and how swiftly situations and swiftly and efficiently he would deal with them. So now, this is the report. In today's day and age, the same problem is with the phones. People pass things on, and they don't verify these things. One brother came to me, and he showed me something on his phone. He goes, is there a hadith, Yusuf? So I looked at it, and I was, well, you tell me, it's on your phone. And then he goes, oh, yeah, you know, it sounds like a hadith. Then I goes, well, where did you get it from? And he goes, oh, I've sent it. And I thought, you don't even know it's a hadith, and you're sending it to somebody else. And then I quoted the verse. I said, look, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, if a fasiq brings you news, verify it, lest you harm people out of ignorance. So, practical reality in today's day, when somebody gives, look, where is the reference for this? check, and then only then when you're certain, pass it on. The other thing which is very important to point out, there's beautiful sayings. But like one of the scholars said, everything our beloved messenger said was beautiful. But not everything beautifully said by our beloved messenger. Said Allah this. So you don't get emotional. You don't start saying, oh, this has to be, look at the wisdom. You find out Socrates said it. Right? Socrates. Right? You know, why are you attributing things to the prophets that allow this? So again, very important in today's day and age. Now just to add that point, who inserted Walid ibn Uqba into this? It was the Shia. Now why have they inserted this companion in this incident? Because what does the Quran say? Fasiq. If a Fasiq brings you news, verify it. So this is how they attack the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We say they are all upright, every one of them. They all, you know, Allah Ta'ala trusted them to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're good enough for us. But they say, well, you don't read the Quran, do you? Because one of them is a Fasiq. They go, what are you talking about? Because Surah 49 verse 6. And they quote the verse, and they give you the hadith. In your hadith, they mentions it. Then you say, well, who's this person? It's Walid ibn Uqba. And he goes, oh, by the way, do you know who that is? That's Uthman's brother, the third Khalif. Then he goes, oh, that's interesting. He goes, why? So the Prophet sent a child to collect zakat. Then he goes, oh, what? Right? Because when the Makkah fell, he was a child. The Prophet, you know, affectionately stroked him. So, okay, let's say Max is 9 years old, 8 years old. This incident took place a year or 2 years after that. The Prophet sending a child to collect zakat with a contingent. Right? So what do you realize? They've inserted him to attack the companions first, and secondly, to target Uthman. And it goes, that same person, Walid ibn Uqba, was appointed by Uthman as the governor of Kufa. And he goes, look at Uthman. He goes, he's appointing Fasiqs as governors. So they now get into Uthman, and Bali Bali Musulman don't know how to defend Uthman. Then they say this same man, Walid ibn Uqba, he was drunk one morning and he prayed Fajr and he didn't even give the salam. And he turns down, he goes, shall I add another rakat to it? And he goes, this is also in the books. And guess what? It is in the books. But was it him? And was that true? No. What happened was Walid ibn Uqba, he was a companion and he was judging very strictly, very fairly. And somebody had been killed due to being involved in a murder. The family of the one who had been killed, they said to the governor, we're going to sort you out. Guess what happened? Then they invented this lie. Kufa. Blessed land of Kufa. They go, yeah, he was drunk. Right? So then they send a message to Uthman. He goes, your brother was drunk and he led us in prayer. And Walid pleaded his innocence. He goes, who said I was drunk, Amir al-Mu'min? And they actually came to Medina and they testified against him. Witnesses. Because we saw you were drunk. And then eventually Walid had to be whipped. And Walid is, I'm innocent. Right? And note again, the shaitans, look, and then what happened? Uthman says, you were innocent, but Allah Ta'ala will deal with these people. So note, you have to be very careful when you're looking at the reports, that this is one of the reports. The reason I mentioned it here wasn't to talk about Walid, radiallahu anhu, was to talk about Khalid bin Walid. No, the Prophet straight away, like you click your fingers, he's ready to deal with the situation. So note, he was always ready for the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But note also how clever he was, intelligent. He didn't start striking, he verified it. He goes, let's go back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or send some spies, whatever the case, verifying it. And the Prophet then received divine revelation sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all I mentioned today was basically, now we're in his element, where he's really known and tested for, and that is in the campaigns. And the amazing statements he made on his deathbed, showing how much he loved this glorious deed. And the reason we find this strange is because obviously not many of us have done jihad. But at the same time, those who've done it, and you wouldn't find fault with them, they're doing it for the rewards, you know, for this, that and the other. But really, to have the ecstasy, you know, that's probably something unique for only maybe the great ones. And Khalid bin Walid certainly was one of them, radiallahu. More than his the first night with his beautiful wife, or more than the news that he's been blessed with a son or daughter. Imagine. And don't forget, he didn't say fighting. He goes waiting So what was the enjoyment he got when he actually launched into the unbelievers? And freezing night. Imagine you're there under the shield and you're freezing, your legs, your teeth are clattering, and somebody goes, is this more enjoyable to you than your wedding night? You think the guy's crazy. Right? And that's Khalid bin Walid. Imagine. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب اليهم لشهد الله سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات والواصل بالحق والواصل بالصبر والواصل بالصبر